Welcome to the Enchanted Ears podcast,
where we discuss anything and everything Disney.
I'm Angela.
And I'm Joe, and on today's episode, we are ranking all of the U.S. Disney parks.
Yes,
all six
we
of
are.
Them.
That was tough.
I will say I was very surprised with where I ended up with my picks, which is funny because I'm the one that picked them, so it's not even like... It's not even like somebody else picked them for me. But yet I was still surprised like where some of them ended up being ranked.
It's interesting too, because I talked to a coworker about this and I'm like, I mean, everybody has to agree with us, right? And her top was one of our lower ones. So, I mean,
I definitely think there's arguments to be made for any of them.
Yeah, I just feel like, because I felt like we end up coming up with like kind of buckets, I felt like, between the two of us, where we were like, yeah, we agree, like switch these three around and these three around. And but yeah, some of our ones that came lower were one of her like top. So yeah, pretty interesting.
If that is not a hook to keep you listening past the news, I don't know what is. But we are going to jump into Disney news this week. A couple pieces of news. One thing is that Hulu is now fully integrated on Disney Plus. So this was like a big thing. You know, Disney was promoting Hulu's now on Disney Plus. They have a new logo. The logo is the same for Disney Plus, but it's like a different
color. It's a different color. Yeah. It's like more like teal. It was like more, it was dark blue before, and now it's like a tealish color.
It's named after one of the princesses, whatever princess, and I can't remember which one. It's one of the older ones.
Jasmine?
No, it's one of like the older ones, like older ones. But they named it that color because it's similar on that. But yeah, so Hulu is now on Disney Plus. I thought whenever they did this, it was going to be included, but you still have to pay for Hulu. So like basically you still need to get the Disney Plus Hulu bundle. The difference is now you can just go into one app and get all of your shows. I did see some people saying like, hey, it's great to have everything in one, but any of your viewing history from Hulu does not transfer over. So like if you were watching a series on Hulu and then you now just want to just get everything on Disney Plus, it's not going to remember you watched five episodes of this. So that's one thing. But yeah, overall, I mean, having one app, I think eventually just completely having one streaming service makes a lot of sense. We've talked about this. It's like way too expensive to try to keep an infinite amount of content on two streaming services. I think it's kind of stretching them too thin to try to keep up with Netflix on two fronts. So having them integrated, having one app, and I think eventually just having one streaming service makes a lot of sense here. So I think it's hopefully going in that direction.
Yeah, I like Hulu. I think that they have some really good shows on there. So it's pretty exciting. I will say sometimes when I try to watch like some of the live sports over on Hulu, I get an interesting response. Like sometimes it's just a bunch of people sitting around talking when it's like I'm trying to watch like these cool sports that we don't really have a lot of. So that's kind of
interesting. It just hasn't started yet. You just have it at the wrong
time. Yeah, no, it's weird. And I don't know if it's like a testing, like they're testing their cameras or they're talking about it. But like, I found a couple really cool like sports. Like there was like a Indian like tag game sort of sport. And I looked it up. I can't remember what it's called, but I was really excited to get to watch it, and I really just kept getting like little tiny clips and then people talking about it. So
maybe it was like a recap show or
something, I don't know, but yeah, but I love Hulu.
And then we talked about D23 a week or two ago because tickets went on sale, and we talked about all of the legends. Joe Rohde is going to be inducted as a Disney legend. He, on his Instagram page this past week, posted him walking back into Walt Disney Imagineering. And I immediately said, how coincidental is this that, you know, the rumored Animal Kingdom expansion redo of Dino Land is, you know, supposedly moving forward now. They've filed permits. I think everybody thinks D23 is going to be an announcement for that. Joe Rohde is going to be at D23, inducted as a legend. We all know, you know, he famously is the one that built Animal Kingdom. Like, he's back at Imagineering. It all just seems so coincidental. Like, Joe Rohde's coming back. It's going to be a huge announcement at D23. They had a subsequent post that said he is there teaching, like, a seminar masterclass to Imagineers. Like, he's going to be there kind of teaching classes, which I think may be a convenient cover because it came out, like, a day or two later after everybody's like, oh, my gosh, Joe Rohde's coming back. And I think maybe they're trying to, like, not spoil the surprise, but... I immediately thought that. I think a lot of other people immediately thought that. And I still think that's a very real possibility that the big announcement for the theme park panel is we are expanding Animal Kingdom in some way. And oh, by the way, don't worry, it's in good hands because Joe Rohde's coming back to lead it.
So this makes me question what they're going to put in there, because I was thinking, okay, well, we're going to get, I still think we're going to get Zootopia would fit in so well, but Zootopia has already been made.
Yeah, I think
so. Why would they need Joe Rohde for that?
The consensus seems to be it is going to be kind of what they showed at the Blue Sky, where it's going to be Indiana Jones. And I think they showed Moana as well, but it sounds like they're going with potentially Encanto. Because, and again, there's animals in Encanto a little bit. So it sounds like it is going to be a mix of Indiana Jones, since the dinosaur ride is a similar ride structure. We're talking about like a whole new story for it, though. So it's going to be its own version of Indy and Encanto. So yeah, to your point, it sounds like it's going to be new stuff. But I think, again, I would be shocked. Now, I thought last year, whenever they had everybody from the cast of Frozen get inducted as legends, that they were surefire we were going to get the Frozen 3 announcement at D23. We didn't. We got it like 2 months later. So I don't know why they didn't announce it there. So I could be wrong on this too, but like, I would be super surprised if Joe Rohde is not on stage with Josh tomorrow talking about Animal Kingdom at D23.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that would be a good fit in there.
Yeah, I think everybody, because Joe Rohde, I mean, he did everything with Animal Kingdom. He did the original. He did Pandora. I think if he's not involved in some way, I think a lot of people are going to be like, oh, it's not going to be the same. Joe Rohde's not involved. Like, I think even if he's just in name involved, I think you need something.
Here's my question for you and, you know, the listener too. One of my favorite rides over in Disneyland is Indiana Jones, but I don't want it on the East Coast. What do you think about if they were to put like an Indiana Jones land over on the East Coast? Like, what do you think they would do with that? And is that an exciting concept for you or no?
I mean, I think it's hard because Indiana Jones really isn't Animal Kingdom. I think having dinosaurs makes sense because the original kind of thesis was you had like extinct animals, current animals, and mythical animals. So I think having, yeah, like Encanto, Indiana Jones, you're now starting, which happened to Epcot too, like you have IP in the parks now. So I don't necessarily love that idea. I mean, I would like if they would maybe just either make it mythical animals or just redo Dino Land in an update. But I think it's kind of inevitable that you're going to get some sort of IP. So
I am inevitable.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think you're going to get something. So I think it'll be interesting. I mean, I'm going to kind of give them the benefit of the doubt and be like, let's see what comes up here.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the end of the day, if we get an Indiana Jones ride and it's great, great. If we don't, you know, I don't really care either way. Like, I kind of feel like, so you mentioned I'm inevitable. I did want to mention this really quick.
Oh,
though.
Yeah.
I think the greatest ears
yep.
Disney has ever made came out within the past yep. week or two here. If you've not seen them, they are Infinity Gauntlet ears. I think they're only over at Disneyland. They sold out like almost immediately the day they came out. I think they're at Walt Disney World too. They sold out pretty much immediately. I think they have restocked. These things are phenomenal. Like, I'm not big on ears per se, but I feel like I would wear these. Like, they are amazing.
Well, I'm really excited about these ears. And it is really funny. Like, I feel like we're actually going to be talking about, I think, next week or in the upcoming weeks about, like, the levels of fandom. And I kind of waver on ears. I've, like, in the past bought ears. And then I bought the Anna ears. But we had, luckily, a connection. And I think we're getting these ears.
Yeah, we had a friend who was at Disneyland that bought some ears and yeah, we're getting a pair, but yeah, I mean, just absolutely phenomenal.
They're beautiful. Yeah. They're gold and they have the little gems on them, and on the side it's embroidered into them that says I am inevitable. They're cool.
Yeah. And so again, I mean, I just wanted to bring them up. I mean, it's not really news. Like,
no.
It's new ears. I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there that do get very excited when like new merch comes out. I mean, the Chewy popcorn bucket's out as well. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's always new ears out, and I feel like we don't really talk about it too much, like these merch drops, but they are incredible.
Yeah, they're really, really good.
All right, so let's get into our main topic this week, ranking all of the U.S. Disney parks. So there are six parks. We're not counting the water parks here, but you have the four at Walt Disney World and the two at Disneyland. So we're going to rank them from worst to first in terms of our favorites. And I will say, this is difficult for me because I feel like even as I was putting the list together, I was moving the parks around. And I feel like on any given day, you know, a park that is sixth on my list could be second. Like, I feel like they can move that drastically because some of it is like the emotion of it. And some of it is like, oh, this was a park I was recently at. And you remember it fondly. So
you can get pixie dusted at a park too. And then that, or yeah, like something really cool happens and it improves your day. And you're like, wow, this day at Epcot is just so amazing. And it skyrocketed to one of my favorite days in any Disney park ever.
Yeah. So I feel like these can really like shuffle around pretty well. So I try to, when I think about it, like take the emotion out of it somewhat, even though I know that's like, that's part of it too, like the emotional attachment to the park. But I try to really think about like, okay, what do these parks have? Like, what do I actually really like about this park versus that park to try to give it a somewhat like realistic ranking here.
Right. So I'm going to get us kicked off here. And for me, the sixth park is Epcot. So I think Epcot is my number six because attraction-wise, there isn't much there. So you're so highly dependent, for me at least, on, you know, making a stop to see Beverly, first of all, but then also going around and going to the different food places and like what kind of food is being offered there. And that, I think, is a different kind of level of stress. Like, as much as I enjoy trying the different kinds of food that they have, I do feel like a lot of my experience is dependent on that and like what show is going on at Epcot.
Like what festival it is, yeah, that sort of thing.
And again, like that is cool because it does keep it fresh to a certain extent. But at the same time, I still feel like there's not enough staples in the park that I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to ride that. Like the best ride for me in Epcot is Frozen Ever After. I don't have to ride that every time I'm there. It's a great ride. I like it, but it is not a must. So that for me puts it at the bottom.
Yeah, I think like the bottom pack, it is interesting because there are a lot of parks where you do feel like there's not a ton of attractions to them. And then so it comes down to like the atmosphere, what there is to do. I will say Epcot is helped by now they have Cosmic Rewind. They have the Guardians of the Galaxy, which helps it. But I do feel like Epcot is a park, to your point, where it almost depends on like what festival's happening. You know, because like Flower and Garden, seeing all of the topiaries, that adds like a level of detail and ups kind of like the atmosphere, gives you something to do.
Yeah,
versus,
that's true.
You know, Food and Wine, there's a lot of food there, but
and a lot of wine.
Yeah, but there but there's not necessarily as much to see because like you don't have the topiaries, you don't have things like that. So, you know, it kind of fluctuates. So if you're really big into the food, obviously that's gonna be a better time for you. But if you're more for like atmosphere, things to see, things to walk around and do, like maybe Flower and Garden's better. So I do feel like Epcot is one that can kind of fluctuate wildly.
Yeah, because it's not a consistent experience necessarily, which is why I dinged it.
Yeah. So my least favorite park, I don't even want to say least favorite, I just think number six, lowest on the rankings here, is Disney California Adventure. And kind of like what I was saying is I think you have a couple parks where there's not a ton of attractions for like a full day. I think you could kind of consider them a half day park. And I kind of feel like DCA fits in there. I mean, if you look at it, you really only have Avengers Campus and the Incredicoaster and Radiator Springs Racers. And Avengers Campus really doesn't have like a ton of attractions, you know, in it either. It's you know, Guardians of the Galaxy and Web Slinger. So there's kind of like four main attractions in there. The rest of the park can kind of be hit or miss. You know, I mean, they have the whole Pixar Pier, which is kind of like boardwalk ride. So if you like that, obviously there's more to do there, but it's not like that they're super highly themed or very like Disney-esque. So they are very easily skippable as well. So for me, just kind of looking at it, is like there's not enough to do. It's a fun park to go to. I like those attractions. I like riding those attractions. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like you could be there for a couple hours and then just move on to Disneyland. And it's kind of a park that you kind of just like jump in and out of. You just kind of go ride the things you want to ride and leave. And so for me, I think that's why I had it as sixth on my list.
It is five on my list for a lot of the same reasons, except for you're forgetting one very important ride. You mentioned Pixar Pier, but you forgot to mention a Pixar Pal Around, the you know, Mickey's Fun Wheel, basically.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, and that ride is a barrel of laughs.
Do the swinging gondolas.
Yeah, you got to do the swinging gondolas. It's great. So that one alone, that is a ride I look forward to. It is something that Epcot does not have, which makes it go above Epcot. Plus, the theming there is really strong with like all of the Pixar area. You have really great theming for Cars Land. So, and even like some of the areas where I can't remember, like the Redwood Forest Trail, or I can't remember what it's called exactly.
Redwood, I think, Creek Challenge Trail.
Yeah, like even in there, that's a lot of fun. Chip and Dale hang out there sometimes, and you could just catch them inside. That's where we got our pictures with them when we were dressed as them from Rescue Rangers. So to me, that is a certain level of magic that is above Epcot, and it helps to edge it out.
Yeah, no, I think those are all good points. And I mean, you're right. Like, Cars Land is incredibly themed. Mm-hmm. You know, Avengers Campus is decently themed. It's not maybe my favorite in terms of land theming. But yeah, so like I said, it's not like it's not a fun park. I just think it's not a park you go to and I really feel like spend the whole day at. And I think if you're going to be one of these higher ranked parks, you need to have that where it's more, right. I feel like, you know, obviously it doesn't, you know, do the same, you know, volume of guests that Disneyland does. But I feel like if you had to travel, like if it was like a Walt Disney World thing where you had to get on a bus and go, I feel like there would be even less people going to Disney California Adventure. I think it's helped by the fact that you can kind of quickly walk back and forth. And so, you know, my number five park, which is interesting because it's kind of the sister park to DCA, which is Hollywood Studios. So that's number five for me on the list. And it's interesting because they're basically kind of the same idea of a park, just kind of East Coast, West Coast. And I feel like for a lot of the reasons why DCA suffers, Hollywood Studios suffers as well. It's a half day park. I think a lot of people think that, and it's definitely improved by having Galaxy's Edge and by having Toy Story Land. But I think you really have to knock it when it feels like half the park doesn't have anything in it. So, you know, you have Tower of Terror, again, you have Galaxy's Edge, you have Toy Story Land, which are all great, but, you know, where, you know, kind of to the right of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, where you have, that's kind of like the Disney Junior area, that's more just like character meet and greets. The, you know, the Little Mermaid show, that's been closed for a couple years now. They have, I don't even know if they still have the Star Wars launch bay. I think they might, but again, that's kind of just a photo op and merch. Like, they have a whole section of the park where you don't really have any reason to go there. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's hard to be a top park when you're not even, it feels like, fully utilizing all the space and resources you have.
Right.
I think for me, it's above DCA just because Galaxy's Edge, I think, is a great land. Toy Story Land's great. Like, I think it has more to do than Disney California Adventure does. But I don't, again, I don't think it's near the level of some of these other parks. So they're kind of neck and neck. Again, this is kind of where I think you could flip some of these, but I'm going to put Hollywood Studios just slightly above DCA.
Yeah, for me, Hollywood Studios was my number four because of a lot of the reasons that you said, but it does go above the other parks because of Galaxy's Edge, particularly. I mean, I think it is the superior Galaxy's Edge of the two, East Coast, West Coast. And I think a lot of that has to do with the personnel who work there. Like, think about the shows that are there. So you have the show with Lieutenant Agnon, and a lot of the cast members that are there are really dynamic when it comes to that role. They do a really great job of like coming in and interacting with the crowd, memorizing your name, putting your name into the little spiel with Kylo Ren. Like, I think that it's a nice, I think out of the two Galaxy's Edges, I like that one better, especially since the guns no longer work in Rise of the Resistance on either coast. Also, you have the Indiana Jones show over at Hollywood Studios and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Rail. So with all of those together, I think that it bumps it up above DCA and above Epcot for me.
All right, what's interesting, so I think our bottom three are exactly the same, just in a different order.
Which means, by process of elimination, our top three are also the same. Are also the same,
that's true. So my fourth one is Epcot. I'm with you on Epcot. It can feel like there's not as much to do. I think, though...
Yeah, why does it get the upgrade?
I think with the World Showcase, I think with the countries, I think there is... There's more to do, and it feels like a park that you can spend a full day in versus, again, like DCA or Hollywood Studios, because there usually is a festival going on, which gives you something new and interesting to kind of do. You can spend probably half a day just visiting all of the countries.
Mm.
And then there are attractions that I really enjoy. So Spaceship Earth, Living with the Land, Frozen Ever After. You know, Remy's in there, which it's not the best trackless ride vehicle, but it is a solid ride.
The Seas with Nemo and Friends.
Yeah, you have the Seas Pavilion. Yeah, you have the whole Seas Pavilion. Again, it's an aquarium you can spend time in. I mean, with Cosmic Rewind now, I mean, Cosmic Rewind is a great attraction. It's thrilling. It's a roller coaster. It's something that Disney needed and that they've added, and it's all in Epcot. So I feel like there's more to explore and do. I will say why it's not in the top three for me is because just like overall atmosphere, it really feels like you're kind of just out in the sun. Like there's no shade. It is a lot of concrete. The countries have some atmosphere, but like the park in general sometimes feels like, again, it's just not as well themed overall of a park as the top three here. But for me, I think overall, again, World Showcase, I think I enjoy spending time in, and some of the attractions for me are just better. And I know we've spent, you know, most of a day in Epcot versus where I feel like, you know, Hollywood Studios, again, will go over, do a couple things, and then leave, kind of same with DCA. So that's why Epcot's a little bit higher than the other two for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that, you know, that's a valid point that you had with particularly like the atmosphere with it being a lot of concrete. I do say that like at night, I feel like a lot of that is rectified. Like it doesn't feel as bad, but out in the Florida heat and the sun, it can be a lot. One of my favorite parts when we do the Run Disney events is running around the World Showcase. That is great.
Spaceship Earth as an icon is a better icon than the other two parks have. And at night, the way it lights up now with the lighting package they have on it, wasn't even thinking of that. But yeah, I mean, those couple things, again, I mean,
not better than the castle. But
I'm talking about then Hollywood Studios or Disney.
Yeah, and
California
you don't
Adventure.
Typically run yeah. through Magic Kingdom. They reserve that for the longer.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about races, but you just mentioned nighttime.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just talking, and I didn't even think about like Spaceship Earth at night.
Yeah.
Again, like Epcot's a place that is different at night and a place you can go to at night versus, you know, Hollywood Studios, Disney California Adventure. Yes, there's lights. It looks different. I mean, Pixar Pier looks great at night, but I feel like Epcot has a different vibe if you go there later.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, my number three, and this is a bit of a dagger in the heart because I have previously said on the show that this is my favorite park, but I think when you isolate it away from the rest of the parks, I do think that Animal Kingdom might have to be my number three park. There is a lot to do at Animal Kingdom, which like we said, like there is a strict line of like demarcation between your top three parks and your bottom three parks, because your top three are full day parks. There's a lot to do in them. They're large. Whereas your bottom three, there's just not so much to do. So in Animal Kingdom, you can spend probably your entire day just looking at the animals without even riding any of the rides. And then you have like Kilimanjaro Safari. You have the Expedition Everest that you can ride. So you have a few really good rides. And then let's add food on top of it. There are really good food carts. You have Nomad Lounge, which has the awesome churros that have the really amazing dipping sauces. And my favorite that I am still dreaming about because I feel like it has been a year since we've eaten there, but Sully Canteen. So, I mean, Animal Kingdom is a really well-rounded park. You also have shows there. Like, they used to have, you know, somebody playing the sitar. They also have, like, shows where there are performances of people, like, doing, like different acrobatic kind of things. So it's just an interesting park where there's a lot going on.
Yeah, and I mean, you didn't even mention like Pandora, like Flight of Passage.
Oh yeah, I completely forgot Flight of Passage.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Like, they do have a lot of shows, and I feel like Epcot, you know, recently with not having as many of like the international cast members, like the countries haven't had as many shows, which again, I think has hurt it in terms of atmosphere. Those are starting to come back, which I think helps it, because again, that kind of gives it more to do. I'm with you with Animal Kingdom at 3. I think there is an argument to be made of whether it really is a half day or a full day park. I think it comes down to, like you said, whether you can spend and enjoy a lot of time just watching animals. So I think if you're somebody that like enjoys going to zoos, enjoys seeing the animals, then yeah, definitely it can be a full day park because there is a lot to do. And I think for me, that's what edges it above some of the other ones. I mean, one, just like the beauty of it and the atmosphere, again, kind of the you know, reverse of like Epcot being feel like you're out in the sun just to see a concrete. You really feel like you are like in the environment, you're in nature when you're in Animal Kingdom. There's a lot of shade, there's a lot of trees, a lot of foliage. Pandora itself is beautiful and feels like you're in another world. It is one of, if not the best lands Disney has ever done. Mm-hmm. The other thing I like about Animal Kingdom is the paths are winding. They're not, you know, it's not your traditional kind of layout. Yeah, like everything's meant to be winding to a point where even we still sometimes kind of get lost of like, I know the general direction where I want to go, but sometimes it's like, oh wait, we took a wrong turn here or there, because you can if you're not really kind of paying attention, because the paths don't go in a straight line and they do wander. But I think that adds like an element of surprise and like freshness to it. So even somebody like us who we've been there a lot, it can still feel new because you're like, oh, wait, where are we? Oh, that's where that path goes. And it feels like it's a new place, and it's a place of like discovery and exploring. So so for me, I think that's why it is one of like the top three parks. Now, why it is not one of the top two for me is, again, I don't think it has enough attractions. Like I think it does need a few more attractions in there. And there's been talk of, I mean, one, them kind of redoing Dinosaur, which again, just redoing it doesn't give you more attractions necessarily, but maybe expanding that area with a couple more attractions, I think would help. Because
I think you need a huge game changer.
You need a couple more things to do in there, but you're right. I mean, they have a lot of shows. They have the Nemo show.
The bird show.
Yeah, they have the bird shows.
Actually.
Yeah, there's they have that. They have, you know, Rafiki's Planet Watch, where you can see animal like operations and everything.
It goes up to number one now.
Yeah, so... So there's a lot of stuff, and it's varied too. And I think that's what's nice about it is there's things that are varied and different, plus all the additional stuff you said. So that's why it's kind of, you know, number three for me.
Now, yeah. So, but now.
Yeah, I will be interested to see kind of where we have one, too. So
because now we have a battle of East Coast versus West Coast. Now we should cut it in a cool graphic for YouTube.
And it's and what's interesting too is it's the basically both Disneyland parks.
It's the same park.
It's Disneyland, and it's Magic Kingdom. And it kind of boils down to, like, do you like nostalgic original park better? Or do you kind of like the newer, bigger park? It's kind of like, which version do you prefer?
So for me, I think that my number two park will have to be Magic Kingdom. And the reason for it being Magic Kingdom, it does hurt a bit, because I would say Magic Kingdom has a fantastic castle. It is the superior castle. I think there are some of the rides that are better. I like Space Mountain at Magic Kingdom better than I like it over at Disneyland. There are a couple other rides. I think also Haunted Mansion I like better on the East Coast than the West Coast. But for me, kind of what it comes down to is I think Disneyland, they've made really good use of the space that they have, and there's a special kind of magic there, which I'll talk about in a minute, or maybe you'll talk about it. But for me, though, Magic Kingdom goes up to number two because there's so much to do. There are character meet and greets. They have all of your iconic rides. So you have Pirates of the Caribbean, you have Jungle Cruise, you have Space Mountain, and then now they've added Tron, which for me is a huge addition to the Magic Kingdom. I think it's a great ride. I mean, the castle and the shows on the castle, I mean, Happily Ever After is, I think, one of the best shows that Disney has ever done. So, you know, Magic Kingdom is really awesome place to be. It's definitely a full day park. My one knock on Magic Kingdom is that the food there is, it's okay. But the nice thing is it's a quick monorail ride away from a couple different hotels that do have better food than Magic Kingdom. So I think it's a really solid park and why I ranked it up at number two.
It's a quick monorail ride away from Epcot too.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
I find this interesting because you've said in the past you don't like Magic Kingdom.
I know.
And you don't want to go there. You don't want to spend a lot of time there.
I
like Magic Kingdom.
Hey, listen, people can change.
We don't spend a lot of time there. And yet you rank it number two out of all of the parks. You put it above Animal Kingdom, above Epcot, all the other parks, which I feel like you like more.
Okay, well, I do have a reason, I think, for this. And I do think part of it is we used to only go to Disney in the summer when it was like kind of convenient for me and my job. And then we started to go shorter trips, but when it was a lot more, like the weather was a lot better. So, you know, when it's in the 70s, like low 80s, and Magic Kingdom is a completely different park when you're not nice dying of heat exhaustion.
Yeah.
You know, Animal Kingdom is a superior park because there's so much cover whenever it's really hot outside. But, you know, if you're not miserable, then Magic Kingdom is a really great park where all of the you know, all of the rides are, essentially.
Yeah. But I think objectively, and again, this is where I try to take, again, some of out, and maybe this is why you have Magic Kingdom up, because objectively, if you look at it, Magic Kingdom is a better park than Animal Kingdom, than all the other parks in Walt Disney World. Because to your point, there's the most to do at Magic Kingdom. And same with Disneyland. Like, I think there's a reason these parks are essentially the same parks and they're 1-2 because these are like the headline Disney parks. You know, Disneyland was Walt's park. Magic Kingdom was basically a copy of that. And so I think that is where you have the most Disney magic. That is where you have all of the classic attractions. That is the place where you're going to see the most characters, where you're going to have the best shows. You have the castle, which is, you know, quintessentially Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you think of Disney, you think of Magic Kingdom. You think of Disneyland. And I think that's why these parks are the best, because I think Disney makes sure they put the best stuff and they're constantly upgrading these parks because they are the parks that
they're
draw...
They're like the flagships of the park.
Yeah, it's what draws everybody in. I mean, if you look at the crowds, these are the most visited parks. And so I think, you know, it makes sense that these two are above the rest. I'm with you. I'm putting Magic Kingdom second, which I'm kind of surprised by.
Me too.
You know, putting Disneyland first and kind of get to that in a second. If you notice my spirit jersey, I'm having a Disneyland spirit jersey.
I was
going
to say, you kind of tipped your hat to where you were going
beginning.
Before.
I wonder if anybody noticed that. You know, Magic Kingdom, again, it really does have so much to do. You mentioned that it has like the classic attractions like Haunted Mansion, Space Mountain, Tron, Happily Ever After, all of that sort of stuff. It has the better castle than Disneyland, but for me, I think Disneyland is number one because it has all those classic attractions, but then it also has the Matterhorn. It also has Galaxy's Edge in it, which is like the best part of Hollywood Studios is now
is
in that part.
In there, yep.
It has the Indiana Jones Adventure, which is Dinosaur, which is kind
but
of...
But is the better, I mean, arguably the better Dinosaur.
I think Dinosaur is the better just because it's so campy. I love it,
but it's like two-story, and it is a really thrilling ride.
Yeah, but like, okay, the Matterhorn is kind of Expedition Everest. I know it's not as like... it's not as maybe thrilling because you don't have the backwards piece of it. Expedition Everest is definitely a newer version of it, but like it has the Matterhorn, which is kind of like one of the best attractions again to Everest. Dinosaur, which is one of the one of the few attractions, but it's one of the better attractions at Animal Kingdom. You have that at Indiana Jones. Again, then you take all of the stuff that you love about Magic Kingdom, you have at Disneyland, but then you have the added nostalgia of this was the original one. Like, some of these were the ones Walt worked on. Some, you know, these are what the Magic Kingdom is based off of. And there's just like a history there that when you're there and you're riding it, it's just a different level. And then the Imagineers plus it and everything too.
Okay. So the thing that pushes it over for me, because again, the castle is Walt's castle. It is smaller. I don't think the shows are nearly as good on it.
No,
because
that's
you can't see them very well.
Yeah,
you can see them really well on the Magic Kingdom
castle. That's the one issue with it.
On
Cinderella
Castle. But the thing for me that really pushes it over, honestly, I actually feel like over down in Walt Disney World, I do feel like the cast members have more pride in being cast member. I don't know how to like put it, because there's just a different, like, their level of nice and customer service is a little higher, I feel like. But the thing for me that puts Disneyland above Magic Kingdom all day, every day, is the characters.
Yeah, there are so many more characters. It's
everywhere.
A different experience.
A slew
there.
Of characters over in Walt Disney World. You know, they are behind lock and key. You have to get in a specific line to go and make sure and take time out of your day to go see them. Over in Disneyland, it is like it was, I feel like, in the 1990s in Disney World, where you would be walking around and then you would see a character. And people are really good about like getting in little lines. Sometimes there was no lines at all. We just walked up to Chippendale. I mean, and that's not an isolated event. We ran into a million characters that day. Not really, literally, but we ran into so many characters that day. And every time we've been at Disneyland more recently than we have even Walt Disney World. And it is such a stark contrast that it's almost shocking.
Yeah, it's a much more casual and relaxed vibe at Disneyland. To your point, it's the characters are just kind of out roaming. It's very informal of meeting them. And getting pictures with them. And even I've talked a lot about this, but like even at the restaurants, like you feel like at Walt Disney World, like when you're doing a sit down restaurant, they're just trying to get through the table. Like they want you in and out kind of as quickly as possible. Not to say that they're like bad service to try to get you in and out, but like you can tell like it's trying to be quick. Whereas when you go eat at a place in Disneyland, it kind of feels like they don't care whether you're there 30 minutes or like 2 hours. I know they're still trying to like turn tables over and get through people, but it is just a much more just relaxed, casual vibe, which to your point, I think adds to it, because again, it's taking everything that you love about Magic Kingdom and it's putting it in a more relaxed setting. It does feel like it is more of a, hey, this is just like a local theme park that isn't, you know, some major corporations park that 20 million people visit every year. It does feel like you kind of just are at Walt's park. Like, hey, we're gonna come here, just have a nice time at Disneyland. I feel like the pressures of, you know, you got to get in early, you need to, you know, book all your reservations, you need fast pass, lightning lanes. Of course you need that stuff, but again, it doesn't feel like you need
more
all
single
that.
Rider lines too over in Disneyland / DCA. I can't give it all to Disneyland, but that's kind of a nice experience because you can get on some of the rides a little bit faster.
Yeah.
Also, Superior, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. Like a million times better than Walt Disney World.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So I think it's interesting, and I was surprised that I kind of went with Disneyland, but I just think for all of the reasons we mentioned, it edges out Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, the more you go, the more you start to see the little nuances. If you've been there once, you're like, oh no, like it's maybe not, it's cool, but it's no different. And then if you go a few more times, you're like, oh wow, this is actually quite significant. Yeah. And they're both great.
I find fascinating though that I picked, the Disneyland Resort has the best park and the worst park.
Yeah,
that it's not like, oh, DCA was in the middle. It was best and worst. So together it averages out to be a decent resort to go hang out at. So again, I think
I was going to say, what makes it nice is now that we are unisolating the two, it is nice because DCA, you can hop over to Disneyland when you're done.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think the way we rank the parks, and I kind of do feel this way, that on average, both resorts, Disneyland and Walt Disney World, to me are kind of equal. Yeah. Like I kind of feel like I don't feel super strongly that like I always have to go to one or the other, or that one is so far superior to the other one. They all have their pluses and minuses. Like Disneyland and the Disneyland Resort, the positive is everything's very close. You can walk to it. So the fact that maybe DCA isn't one of the best parks, but you can still go over there mm-hmm. very quickly, ride what you want to ride and leave. And again, to your point, there's characters, all that sort of stuff. It has its benefits, but then Walt Disney World, you know, you don't have the closeness of everything, but you have all of the parks, and there's just in total so much to do. So yeah, it's interesting of like, on average, it's like, yeah, they're kind of roughly the same.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that, you know, now that we're unisolating the parks, it is like when you think about Disneyland, you have Anaheim, and Anaheim is completely saturating around Disneyland. So you are probably not staying at a Walt Disney, like you're not staying at Walt Disneyland, a Disneyland hotel, most likely, and you're walking along the streets to get there. So you're experiencing Anaheim a little bit. Whereas when you're in Orlando and you're on Disney World property, you are on Disney World property.
Yeah, they, and it's easier
it's easier to get around. I mean, not necessarily, because
no, it's not easier to get around, but like
park to park, your transportation's taken care of.
You have the Skyliner. But I was going to say,
the Skyliner is huge.
It's easier to go to, like, Universal. Like, there's more to do, to your point. Like, I feel like in Orlando, you know, if you have young kids, SeaWorld's close by. Universal Studios is close by. Versus, like, over in California, Universal Studios can be 2 hours away if you go at the wrong time. And yeah, there's stuff to do, like, at Hollywood and in L.A. But to your point, it's a different... feeling.
It's a different vibe.
Yeah, it's a different vibe. Like,
and
in,
if you're not
total,
a city person, like I'm not, it makes me feel uncomfortable. Then it is definitely it's just different.
Yeah, no, 100%. So, but yeah, so we ultimately had the same 1, 2, 3 actually, and then just kind of our bottom three shuffled around. But we'd love to hear what our listeners feel like. What's your favorite park? What's your least favorite park? Kind of what's your ranking? If you're watching this on YouTube, let us know in the comments, or if you're listening to this wherever you get your podcast, you can let us know over on our Instagram at Enchanted Ears Podcast. But I want to thank everybody again for listening. If you've not done so, please leave us a rating or a review, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. It really helps, and we really appreciate it.
Thanks for lending us your ears.
Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you here next Monday.
Bye-bye. We'll